No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rach?
I am very good, thank you. I hope you had a nice May Day on Friday.
I did. I found out people have been leaving out red flags in Point Chev.
Yeah, so It was the least likely suburb in my mind, but on my walk, I saw a couple of them, which was really awesome. So
that's so cool. I love that so much.
Righteous old Point Chev out there. Mm-hmm. We've got some questions for you that have been sent in by our listeners over the last week and a half since we last had a chat. So let's just dive into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So this one is, who should people talk to if they feel like their workplaces aren't complying by level 3 regulations? This is kind of a conflated question from a few that we had come through, especially wondering about people who are working in service and the food industry at the moment.
So it's really important that people do raise these issues, because you know this is otherwise we're going to be stuck in level 3 for a longer time. I just saw in the news today that the government's already considering extending it because of a lack of compliance with the rules. There's a couple of avenues that you might want to raise this through. So firstly, MBIE is encouraging people to go straight to them, so they have a process on their website that you can raise these issues.
Okay.
And I would encourage people to do that. You can also raise it through the Council of Trade Unions, the CTU, on their Together website, which I've kind of plugged a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So they're still asking people to send in their stories about, yeah, workplaces which aren't complying with regulations. And then the other thing is, if you do have a health and safety rep, you can also raise it with them, and they can raise it with the employer. And if they don't fix it within a certain time frame, they can also raise that thing I talked about last 2 weeks ago, the provisional improvement notice, the PIN.
The PIN.
It's a very powerful thing when you raise a PIN. And so that would go to WorkSafe, which is another government agency, and then they would have to respond within a certain time frame, and they could potentially be inspected and things like that. So there's, just to cover all bases, do all three. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. So there are definitely avenues for people to have their say there. And this kind of segues onto another question we got sent in about health and safety officers. Someone said, a couple of weeks ago, you said something about every workplace should have a health and safety officer. I'm pretty sure my workplace doesn't have one. What should I do about it?
So they should absolutely have a health and safety officer. I'm so glad that someone asked this question, because I just attended a training about health and safety legislation, so I feel well equipped to answer it. So basically the Health and Safety Act, I don't know if that's exactly what it's called, but the health and safety legislation in New Zealand says that if you have more than 20, if you're in a workplace with more than 20 workers, right, and you ask to initiate a health and safety rep election, the employer must initiate the election on your request.
Okay.
So that's if you have 20 plus workers. If you don't, they still should, but they're not legally obligated to. So that's kind of the stupid law around that. Unless you are working in a high-risk sector, so if you're working in, say, construction or something, right, where there might be a slightly more risk there, regardless of how many employees you have, they must initiate an election on your request. So, yeah. So basically, it's on the request of the workers. The law should be basically that every workplace should have one, but instead it's kind of on to workers to take an initiative.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it works.
So that's maybe a little bit of a hassle for people, but I guess there's never been a better time to bring it up with your employers as well, if you feel like you don't have one. Pandemic is a good situation to maybe get that conversation going.
Absolutely. They have to train them, and they are endowed with certain legal powers, so I couldn't recommend it enough. Like, honestly, health and safety is an issue that never goes away, you know?
Yeah, totally. We've had a text in from somebody that says, I work for a big law firm, and normally if we had to work late or over our usual hours, the company would shout us dinner or a taxi home. Obviously, I'm not going to need a taxi while I'm working from home, lol, but is it still fair for me to ask for some sort of compensation for working late?
Firstly, you should get a taxi to Macca's. Just take advantage of it. No, I'm joking. Yeah, absolutely is fair. Don't ever doubt your worth like that. It just makes me sad to hear it. You contribute a lot to the company. Your labor is valuable. That's why you're employed. They're probably making a lot more per hour from you than they actually pay you. So it is absolutely fair that you should be getting compensation for your work. And it's not just even about you. It's about setting a standard for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have to realize that if we don't value our own labor, we're actually setting that standard for our coworkers as well. So it's actually just about that collective like acknowledgement and respect for that mahi that you're doing and the value that you bring. I would be asking to be paid for working more hours, but if you would be satisfied with a dinner, I would ask for that as well. But you definitely, it is fair, and you definitely should be asking for some sort of compensation. I generally recommend people don't work more than the hours they're paid for, unless they get paid for the hours then they work extra, because right. I just think that that sets a bad precedent for employers who take advantage of that, you know?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It seems to be something that we've seen a few messages about as well, of just the blurry line of being at home and working at the moment seems to be opening up a few grey areas for people in their jobs. Yeah. Similarly, we've got a question here that says, would the union be a good place to talk about some advocacy for reduction in my hours while my kids are having to learn from home? It's just not possible for me to get all my work done and also be helping them with their schooling right now. So is that something the union can help with, Justine?
So the unions usually do two things. We do advocacy servicing work, so I'll explain what that is, and organizing, which is more collective stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we do definitely help with individual cases, and we can support people through processes like that. The only thing is that we can't guarantee that we can secure that for you,
right?
Because that's a contract variation. It's always good to have union support, because, you know, they'll know the legislation, mm-hmm. and can help you, articulate and communicate that in a way that, but you should be able to. I mean, I think a fair, I always ask you, you should ask yourself, what would a fair and reasonable employer do? And I think mm-hmm. a fair and reasonable employer would, negotiate that with you while you're working from home. The only thing I would say is that you should ensure that it is for that period and not any more. So if you want to get that in writing, and so I think some help from a union rep would be good. We do help with individual advocacy cases.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And our last question this morning is, I guess, a good general question. How do I know what union I'm eligible to join? How can people find out what kind of unions they can sign up to, Justine?
So, very, very good question. And when I first started working, I wondered the same thing, really. I know that on union.org.nz, there is a little thing called Find Your Union, where you can put in the area you work in, and then it will find you some matching unions that cover that kind of work. But sometimes they don't have the job that you're doing. So, for instance, journalists join, there's ETU, which is the largest private sector union, so mm-hmm. And a lot of journalists join ETU, so that's just an example where journalists don't have a specific union, but the private sector union does represent them, freelance journalists, I believe. And ETU is basically the backup one. If you're in the private sector, you're not quite sure. ETU is what I'm trying to say. But and if you're in retail, there's some choices. You've got ETU, you've got First Union, mm-hmm. and you've got Unite as well. I think Unite's only hospitality. Let me not spread misinformation. Let me just give that again. It's union.org.nz, find your union. And ETU as a backup.
Fantastic.
They're going to be very happy with me. This.
Yeah, they're going to be great. They have all these sign-ups. That does sound like a good place to go, though, if you are not sure about what union you can sign up to. That sounds like a great directory. So thank you very much, Justine.
No worries at all. It's my pleasure.
And thank you, everybody, for your really great texts this week. You can send us in anything at any time to 5395 if you do have a question that's related to employment or unions as well. And Justine will help you out next Monday. How does
Absolutely.
That sound?
Happy to do it. If you, yep, ask some questions about abolishing capitalism. I'm sorry, no.
Fantastic. Hey, hey, thanks, Justine. We'll talk to you again next week. I hope you have a nice one.
All right. Cheers, Rachel. You have a good one too.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.